The NAFTA podcast.
Sometimes may be good, sometimes may be shit.
All right, NAFTA podcast, we're back. A week off, a rare week off. Honestly, I think last Christmas we recorded somehow because of how the dates fell and it wasn't like intrusive too much on the schedule. So I feel like this is the first time we took a match week off in like a year and a half or so. So honestly, we're going to get to the dudes of the week, but shout out to us first and foremost, as always. Secondly, happy holidays once again. This is coming out Friday, kind of before New Year's Eve. Hope you guys had a great Christmas, a happy holidays, whatever you celebrate. You got Dylan, you got Michael, you got myself. Let's start here. Good Christmas break, Dylan. How was the pod, Mom?
She was good. Her cooking was fantastic. Made a great mac and cheese. So wanted to make sure that that is addressed.
Way to get ahead of that one. Way to get ahead of that one.
My parents and Santa did a real good job of, you know, getting everything that I was looking for. And Alex gave me a candle that says smells like a wolf's win, and the wolves are 2-0 since receiving it. So to be honest, it's the most magical candle in the world.
Incredible gift by your wife, Alex. I told Alexis about the gift. She thought it was hilarious. And then I also told her that you immediately said I had to buy a second one as soon as the second one happened, just so we can keep the good times burning.
We have a second one, and then she got Nick the same gift.
Uh-huh.
2-0 Aston Villa. Nick walks in from coming down from seeing Caroline's family up in Massachusetts. And he's like, why is this game on? Like, I don't want to watch this. This is stupid. And then we start doing gifts. And I was like, well, it's my birthday. I want to watch it. And I more was watching it because I was like, this is so much fun. I love watching Nick be upset. Like, this is what I want to see. The second gift he opens is from Alex, and it's same candle, but smells like a Manchester United win. That candle, I don't know what juju's on it. That candle comes out, goal. And all of a sudden, the comeback happens. So, like, I'm not saying you guys need a candle, but, like, you guys need a candle.
It'll be interesting to see if we all, if you and Nick burn the candle at the same time, who overpowers who. That's going to be, we got to keep it.
I have two, so two beats one.
Ooh, very true, very true. Sounds great. Michael, we spent the holidays together.
Absolutely. Is that for sure?
Yeah, no question.
Sounds like Michael liked it.
Yeah.
It was sorry, great. I'm trying to find a smells like a Liverpool wind candle.
It was on Etsy.
Yeah, I found it already.
Get that in. So this is the last pod. Michael, you didn't have to pod from the house. It's not the best setup, as you can imagine. But the last pod, you're going to have to take in the childhood bedroom for myself here. Christmas break, though. If you're listening, if you found this podcast, whatever, like, subscribe, share, do all the things. We've got a pretty good run going on YouTube. Unfortunately, this is going to be like 3 days where we didn't have any content going out. But I will say, and I'm going to be kind of spoiler alerting one of my dudes of the week, the Pod Mom did very well on YouTube. The reposts that we did, so about 1,000 views and a lot of likes. So shout out to the Pod Mom as always. Speaking of dudes of the week, we got 2 weeks to go over. Essentially, we're gonna really fly through the week that we missed. Talk about this current match week. Just to peek behind the curtain, it is in the 85th minute of the Arsenal West Ham game as a recording. So we'll have a more live update on that at the end. West Ham's up 2-0, and like I said, we'll get the dudes of the week going. So let's do it this way. Dylan, you got the magic candle. You can go first. Michael, go second. I'll go last. Three rounds, snake draft, your dudes of the week.
I don't know. I'm going to do a homer pick, but not where I think you know where my homer pick's going to go. But Nuno Espirito Santo, welcome back. The nice little upset bringing Nottingham Forest. Still might get caught in the relegation battle. We'll touch on that a little bit later. But you know what? The boys got spirit and they got fight. So welcome back, Nuno.
Yeah, he is risen. Love that pick. Michael?
in conjunction with the holiday, Nuno Espirito Santo has arisen. I got, just from today, just because I'm kind of shocked by the scoreline, got a shout out, João Pedro, also on my fantasy team, so thanks for the goals. Knew at when he was at Watford, he was a great player, and I love that he's at Brighton getting his opportunity. He's going to go for a lot of money at some point, I'm sure. So
yeah, he looks pretty nasty. Had a great game today, like you just mentioned, against Tottenham. My pick, the first one's going to be a homer one, then I'll get to a real one. I mentioned it before, like, you know, the pod mom putting up numbies when we had no content to put out. So shout out to her, as always, with the video. But also, it's kind of a repeat pick from last episode. I'm going to shout out my mom, too. She tie-dyed a shit ton of t-shirts and set up a party bus for us to go look at lights on Christmas Eve. A lot of work, ton of fun. Brought a lot of holiday spirit. So shout out the pod Karen and shout out the pod mom for their contributions over Christmas break. And then my second round pick is Kudus. He's playing really, really well. Last week with the goals, this game against Arsenal, as we've been watching, like, just an impact player. West Ham, you can't figure him out, but they're just sneaky good. I don't understand what it is, and he's playing really, really well. Another guy that's probably going to get sold for a ton of money at some point.
Yeah. I was thinking about putting Kudus in there, but I'm going to have to go with, I don't know what this would be considered, but the Manchester City industrial online complex that you guys have on, like, Twitter and stuff. Just every week it's a panic that you guys aren't going to have enough people to play a game. And then every week, somehow, every single person that you had once thought was injured is not injured anymore. Can't keep up with it. Don't know how it works. But you guys, they're doing God's work for you, keeping us on our toes.
Shout out to our medical team. I will say, though, Haaland's still out, De Bruyne's still out. Like, it's not like they're working miracles by any means.
Yeah, but, I mean, I remember before we played you guys, like, Liverpool, it was Rodri, Stones, Ake, I think Kovacic, and somebody else, and literally all of them were fit to play. And some of them were starting some on the bench, but I was just like, it's not going to happen.
Yeah. Pep Guardiola, who was the NFL coach? It was Belichick, wasn't it? That just didn't release the injury report until, like, the very last minute all the time.
Probably.
That sounds like him.
Dylan, who's your last two?
Just because he's the happiest man on earth, Rasmus Højlund, got to see what the back of the net feels like. So really happy for him. Honestly, watching that game, that might've been the best celebration of someone who had to rip the monkey off of his back. So
yeah.
Hopefully he can score more just for Nick's own sanity, but it might be another 17-game drought. We'll see what happens. But he deserves a shout, similar to Kai Havertz, and now he's rolling. So you know what? He's moving in the right track. And then number two is Mary Lamina's a boss. I don't know how much you guys actually watch The Wolf, so you just wait for me to text to say something cool is happening or not. But he's got 4 goals on the year, and at this point, like, he dominates the midfield for us and is the perfect replacement for losing Ruben Neves. So, Super Mario, you're a stud. Thank you for coming into my life.
Love it. And now I get my last one because you didn't take it. I love to hear it. Michael, who you got?
I'm going to keep it consistent. I'm going to go that Korean guy.
Damn it. You took my last one then. We both were waiting for it.
Hwang. Again, another fantasy member. Got to shout him out when they do well. 2 goals. And then I hope he's not seriously injured because I know he came off.
He's gone anyway. He got called up to Korea for the Asian Cup, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Damn. Well, anyway, thanks for the points.
How many games does he miss?
It's like a month.
All month of January. We're also going to lose at Norway, too. So don't worry. It's not great.
It's like AFCON. Damn.
Correct.
It's only, I think it's only ends up being like 3 games, though, because there's a break in January.
Okay. Gotcha. Damn. That was going to be my pick. He's incredible. And I was listening to the Men in Blazers, like, morning pod. They do like that 15-minute one. It's honestly the greatest invention ever. because I listened to it while I walked Josie in the morning. And O'Neill said, he was like, someone asked him like what he thinks of him. He goes, I write his name down and just let him go. Like every game he needs to be in there. So he's having a sick year. And honestly, Pep, what the fuck? Why'd you light the fire under the sky? My last pick is going to be a big time like FIFA pickup, like always picked up this guy during FIFA when you're doing a career mode. It's Alphonse Areola. Again, this game's not over yet. There are 5 stoppage time minutes left, but he's had at least 8 saves against Arsenal. And I just looked down and he had a diving save on the left-hand side. He, again, is much like West Ham. He'll be incredible one game and just kind of subpar of the other ones. But this game, watching it, he's been unreal and is out of control. And if they get the dub here, it's probably going to be because of him for the most part, too. So, Alphonse Areola, my last dude of the week. Guys, it's done and dusted. Let's fly quick. Like I said, I want like a one-word thing on just a few games here. The week we missed, there was actually some interesting results, interesting matchups. There were only 9 games. I'll lead us off here. Crystal Palace and Brighton, they tied 1-1. Villa and Sheffield, they tied 1-1. West Ham beat United, which we thought Nick was going to be in an absolute tailspin, 2-0. Fulham, Burnley gets the win, 2-0 as well. Luton Town beat Newcastle United, more on them later, 1-0 at home. If Newcastle finishes in top 6, that's one of the Luton wins. We'll have to see what happens there. Forest loses to Bournemouth 3-2. Tottenham, a 2-1 win over Everton. And then Michael, you and Arsenal draw 1-1. Michael, let's start with you. Highlight a few of the games that you just want to give quick thoughts on, and then I'll have Dylan do the rundown as well.
So in terms of our game, Joe Gomez, absolute monster off the bench, very shaky initially, like immediately made 2 huge mistakes, almost gave up 2 goals, but then did really, really well against Saka. And it seems like in this West Ham game, there's some similar stuff going on with him. I thought it was a good game. I thought either team probably could have won it. Just kind of depends, you know, taking your chances. Both teams not really that great at converting at the moment. You can look at our Burnley game after that for some of that. But yeah, I thought the West Ham one, I think I'm the only one that called that one because I just was so angry after the Man United Liverpool game. I was just never going to give them a win. But there's so many teams right now that are very hard to pick and very confusing. And it just, you have to hope that the team in your head when you're picking these is the team that shows up, because it could just be a tailspin every single time.
Absolutely. Dylan, any thoughts on the matches this week? Also, I forgot to mention, I don't know how I did this, Wolves 2-1 over Chelsea was the last game of the week as well. Yeah. I can't, as I went to you, I was like, there's no Wolves result here. You had a couple thoughts about that result. What were your thoughts there? And then anything else you want to mention?
Do you guys happen to read the thread of how Gary O'Neill's a genius by any chance?
No, sorry.
Did you send that to
Michael?
The chat?
It's right up Michael's alley, which I'm shocked.
I'll have to look at it.
Essentially, Chelsea should have beat us probably 3-2 for the fact that, if you didn't see the highlights, Raheem Sterling had 4-on-0 and decided to shoot it instead of just passing it off. And it's a completely different game, and we were shaky as hell. But like, the biggest thing is essentially Poch came out in a completely different formation that Gary O'Neill wasn't ready for. And I saw when this happened too in the game, O'Neill told at Nori to go down and pretend to be injured, literally brought everyone over, brought the clipboard out, changed tactics. From there, we completely dominated the game. Guy's a tactical genius at this point. And you know what? Chelsea is mid-table, deserves to be mid-table with us. We're crushing it. So I'll touch more on when we probably talk about the latest game against Brentford. But I'm happy with the result. I went to church during the last 30 minutes, so I think that helped bring it over the finish line. So shout out there, Mom. Outside of that, I think my biggest takeaways from those games is, shockingly, Fulham is back to not scoring because they need Willian and Raul, which is something I didn't think I'd actually say. So something just to keep a tab on that, which they're missing another game with Raul until he comes back. And then I think the other biggest thing is that I already kind of mentioned it. Nottingham Forest at least has some life, and the call on Boley, it was also BS. In terms of his second yellow, I don't know if you saw that either, but that wasn't a yellow to force him out of the game. So the fact that they at least kept the game, even though they lost, I think was a move in the right direction.
Interesting. I feel like a lot of the results actually transferred over to the next week, all it being like United, like losing 2-0 to West Ham and then beating Villa 3-2 is kind of crazy and insane. West Ham's on a roll. They beat United 2-0. They beat Arsenal 2-0. Spoiler alert. We're going to get to that too. But like the only other thought I had was Michael and I watched the Liverpool game, the Liverpool-Arsenal game. Pretty evenly matched for the most part. And then I think Liverpool kind of came out, in my opinion, the better team there. Dylan, I don't know what you guys are feeding the forwards right now. But Michael, when we did the pod without Dylan, like last pod, I think we remember talking about like how Wolves couldn't score at the beginning of the year, and now it's just how many goals are you guys going to get? And to Michael's point, Palace, Brighton, Sheffield, Palace, Brighton, United, West Ham, Fulham, Newcastle, Brentford, Bournemouth here and there, like Tottenham for sure, all these teams, Chelsea, I have no idea anymore if they're going to win or lose. Like, I don't, yeah. We're now in the slop. Like, these are the dog days of winter for the podcast. And like, we had a great beat on these teams early in the year, and now it's just an absolute guessing game, in my opinion.
I think though, something you have to do, and I know we're going to get into like this week's games after this, but you really have to like ride the hot team, because if you think about it, at Forest, Bournemouth 1-3-2. Solanke, all three goals. Turns out he's really good, you know, having a really good year, like 12 goals, I think.
Yeah.
And then they turn around at home and just thrash Fulham. And Forest go and beat, I think it was Newcastle, right?
Yeah.
This week, away at Newcastle, which no one expected. And it just, I don't know, because there's so many injuries in all these big teams too, that if a team is just like riding a heater, you have to just ride them until they lose it, and then they're Fulham. Like, Fulham was riding high, now Fulham can't score a goal, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think like right now, West Ham, great week, beating United, beating Arsenal. They're probably a team to definitely look forward to.
Yeah, where you end up becoming really good at predicting is if you know when to cut a team off. Because that's my problem, is if some team is playing well, I'm at least a two-week layover with them. And I think I cut that off this week. When we get to predictions, I'll mention it. But that is a great point. I also think the injuries are piling up for everyone. Like, you got to have a beat on the injuries if you want to make these predictions go well. And then if in the case of Newcastle, which we're going to talk about here in a second, like, these midweek games are killing teams. And I think the game load for them, and I would have said this about Brighton until today, like, you can really see it wearing on all these teams.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's get into this current match week. The games are going to fly through. Like we mentioned, Newcastle 1, Nottingham Forest 3. Isak opened the scoring with a pen in the 23rd. Chris Wood with a almost second half hat trick in the 45th minute, 53rd, and 60th. Give the Forest all 3 points. The Fighting Craigs, Bournemouth 3-0 win over Fulham. Clivert in the 44th, Solanke in the 62nd, and Sinisterra with an absolute bullet in the 93rd minute. Give them all 3 points. Sheffield United and Luton, a battle of the bottoms. Luton gets the upper hand and the win, a 3-2 win at that. A 17th minute goal by Doughty. McBurnie in the 61st ties it up. They take the lead, Sheffield United does, in the 69th, and then 2 own goals by Sheffield United see them lose, one by Robinson in the 77th, and one by Slimani in the 81st. 3-2 win for Luton, a big win for them because now they're 1 point out or 1 point away from being out of the relegation zone. Liverpool 2-0 win over Burnley. Nunez in the 6th, Jota in the 90th. Pretty straightforward there. Wolves 4-1 over Brentford. Lamina in the 13th, Wang in the 14th. Wissa gets one back for Brentford in the 16th. Wang again in the 28th and Bellegarde in the 79th. 4 goals for Wolves. Dylan, you can let us know the last time you guys scored 4 goals in a game. I feel like it was a while ago.
2022.
Woo, oh, shit. Last year.
Watford.
Okay, okay. Got it. Chelsea 2-1 win over Palace. Mudryk in the 13th. And then Elise ties it up in the 45th. And then Madueke in the 89th on a pen for Chelsea. All 3 points there. City, a 3-1 win over Everton. They were down 1-0 by a Jack Harrison goal in the 29th. Foden in the 53rd. Alvarez with a pen in the 64th. Bernardo Silva in the 86th minute. Brighton, a 4-2 win over Tottenham. Hinshelwood in the 11th. João Pedro in the 23rd. And 75th. Estupiñan in the 63rd. And then Tottenham, as soon as Nick sends a text to the group, he said the most impressive thing about this Brighton game is that it's a shutout. Well, he jinxed them there. Vela's in the 81st, and then Davies in the 85th get all 2 goals back for Tottenham. 4-2 win for Brighton. All right, Dylan, I'm gonna give you the floor. You start us off. You can start with Wolves. You can start with Newcastle. You can start wherever you want. What are your thoughts this week over the holiday season?
I'll be quick on Wolves just to get it out of the way. I should have made him my dude of the week, actually. Nathan Collins, I think, thought he was playing for the Wolves still because he gave us 2 assists, and they were absolutely bloody brilliant, so I appreciate everything there. Literally full-on sitters. Honestly, the more shocking thing of the Wolves game is I thought with 10 days rest, there'd be more oomph to Brentford, which was more shocking to me that they're closer, not that they're going to, but they're closer to relegation scrap than where they've been, more that feisty, like, mid-table team since they've kind of come up. So, also that, we're flying high. I don't know. It probably means we'll lose to Everton, but I'm very happy with the boys. Our defense is shady as shit still. Craig Dawson being out is a problem. Like, we looked better in the second half, but it's there. We could give up 4 goals in a game, or we could give up, well, we're at least going to give up 1. So, but we'll take the wins while they come, comfortably 25. If we didn't get screwed by VAR, we'd be in like 7-6. Who's counting? Outside of that, I think my other biggest takeaway we kind of touched on is Newcastle. With them being knocked out of Champions League and really only focusing on Premier League at this point, I know they still have their injuries and all that type but stuff, but like, I don't know. I thought they'd be just more focused, especially at home. They have been playing a lot better and normally only give up like a goal or two. I was really disappointed in what I saw from them, to where I'm sure they'll figure out, but like, I don't know. If they're not going to, I guess my question is Eddie Howe another coach that's potentially on the hot seat with getting kicked out of Champions League? And if they end up, let's say, finishing 8th at, I'm not saying mid-year, but like by end of this year, if they don't finish in a Europe spot, is it basically going to be he's kicked to the curb because they're not where they want to be at this point before the spending spree? I'm also probably jinxing this into them spending a shit ton in January now, but yeah, just a thought.
I think, and Michael, I'm sure you got a thought on this too. Like, I think if they don't get Europe, yeah, he's probably in trouble. But them in Champions League is kind of how I was going to equate Brentford in the Premier League now. Is like, I don't think they're going to get relegated. I think they're happy to just survive this year and then take the Ivan Toney money, which is going to happen, and next year go at it and try to get into the top 10 again. I think it's kind of a similar outlook for Newcastle, where the win and the goals against PSG like filled the void of European football for them for the season. Now, next year, I think they got to be hoping they're in the Champions League, obviously, but if they're in Europa, then they're an actual like threat to win that, and then they'll be happy with that. But I do think if they're not European bound, like, that's an interesting situation, because he wasn't that new ownership's first pick for sure. Yep. Michael, you got thoughts on that?
I think there are some teams Newcastle one of them. United to a degree, I guess defensively, because of like Martinez and everything. I think like Newcastle is just in a world of pain because of injuries. Like that stretch where they were playing the same 11, they lost Nick Pope, so now Dubravka's back there. I have to imagine they're going to try to get somebody in January. I think
Ramsdale incoming.
Ramsdale, De Gea even. He'd be cheaper for sure. But I have to imagine they're going to do something because they have the talent there. Like, they have Gillette and they have Gamarish. But when these dudes are playing every single, you know, every 4 days right now, and they have nobody to come off the bench, really. Like, Miley's having to play, and he's really good, but, you know, he's also 17 or whatever. I think there's a little bit of leeway there. I think if they finish, like, 9th or 10th by the end of the year, when they have all those guys back and they can actually win these games, that obviously is not going to bode well. But yeah. I think they'll give him a little bit of wiggle room.
Yeah. Sheffield-Luton. You know what it looked like? A really, really good championship game, because that's what it's going to be next season. I thought that. Liverpool beating Burnley. Michael, any thoughts there? I know that the times of the goals have a great discrepancy, the 6th and the 90th minute, but, I mean, by no means did Burnley ever look like they were going to score, in my opinion, in this game.
No, because I sat there and said, at 1-0, we're going to give up a goal, and like three different times in 15 minutes. We basically almost give up a goal. But we're always going to be vulnerable. Like, it was even the season that we won the league, the offside trap and everything, like, people were going through on goal, and so many goals got pulled back because they were offside. It's just kind of how we decide to play, and we're willing to give that up if we can get a little bit more going forward. But, no, I mean, listen, if Burnley were more clinical, it could have been real scary of a game. But I'm glad they didn't score. That's why we have Alisson. That's why we have Van Dijk. And they didn't have a shot on goal, actually, which is crazy, because I felt like they were going to score.
Yeah. Bournemouth, they keep it rolling. It's 4 wins out of the last 5. And, Dylan, to your point, Fulham missing Raul Jimenez and, you know, was it Polina?
Willian. Polina played. Willian.
Yeah, Polina played. Missing those two guys. The offense just didn't look like it was there. They're not going to score 5 goals. My one question to you is, do they need to start playing another former Wolf with Adama Traore?
I think he's injured. I keep looking on the internet and he's like fallen off the face of the earth. Like, I have no idea what's happened to Adama, to be completely honest.
He has like a hamstring injury, it says, that he's like doubtful. But I've seen a lot of like Fabrizio Romano type tweets where it's like, hey, he's getting out of here. Like, they're not going to play him because he's not good enough. But, like, I don't know. Get some speed out there.
I don't think it could hurt. I just don't. I honestly keep forgetting he's on Fulham because he's in an abyss right now.
I didn't know until, like, 2 weeks ago. I forgot. Totally forgot.
Come on home. Come on home, Adama.
Real quick, just because we're talking about Fulham, I just want to point out, when you were talking, John, Bournemouth are the informed team in the Premier League right now.
Craig called it. I don't doubt
four,
Craig.
4 out of 5, and the one was a draw. So they're 13 points right now. Looking crazy.
Is it bad at this point I benchmark the Wolves against Bournemouth just because I want Gary O'Neill to finish above Bournemouth, though? Nah, so, like, I'm actually kind of rooting against Bournemouth the fuck up again. So
yeah.
So we can just say that we have the better coach from this whole situation.
No, that's sports. I like that. That's how you have to look at it. And, like, you know, I'm sure Craig is thinking the same thing, where he's like, we just have to finish above Wolves because then it's worth it, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's the same type of thing. Chelsea 2-1 win over Palace. These are two mid-table teams, and we've said this the entire time. I'm not that impressed with Chelsea, and we all know that Palace, honestly, if they don't figure it out, is in the Nottingham Forest camp, where it's like, you could leak down into relegation. We don't think you will because the other three teams are so bad. But this is not a good year for Palace. And then Everton City. Everton looked really good in this game. I'm not going to lie. First half especially. Second half had a few like big chances just in a vacuum. But the goal to go up in the 29th minute and then not to give up a goal until the 53rd, to be totally honest. Like, they have an identity. They don't necessarily look, in my opinion, like a typical Sean Dyche team. And honestly, City are still so shaky. You can't trust anyone right now. No one's on form. And my one other comment, Michael, I texted this to you. We've said multiple times, someone's going to get hurt when you don't raise the flag immediately if someone's offsides. And of course, it happened to John Stones, and he's going to be out for a couple months. So he had a boot on.
I would wait to see if he is in the team next game.
All right. Well, relax. That's kind of mean.
Dude, listen, I know we have this conversation all the time. It was the VAR ref for Arsenal Liverpool is the same VAR ref for that game, Man City Everton. I don't know how you have two different penalty calls. That person has two different penalty calls. Don't get it.
Let me do the Brighton one, and then we can talk penalty and then go into our last two games. 4-2, a win over Tottenham. Are both these teams just enigmas? Like, we're just not sure about them. Is that essentially how we're looking at it?
Yes.
All right.
I mean, they both score goals. Just take the over. That's all you need to know.
Well, I think that's a good point. Like, if there's anything you're taking from this section that we just talked about, take the over in the Brighton games for sure. And then honestly, in the Wolves games, both teams to score is pretty hot right now. So
yeah,
dude.
Also, Luton to score in the second half, by the way, is dynamite because they score all their goals with 15 minutes left in the game.
They grind you down to get one. Love it.
The thing is, like, you can look back at this Spurs Brighton game and you can go, okay, it makes sense because Spurs are open. They don't have like Romero, their best defender. Brighton make a lot of opportunities. At the same time, Brighton also give up a lot of opportunities. So you can definitely see, it's always, you can see how we got here, but you just don't know because the second you start doing like analyzing stuff like that, Spurs go out and they win a 1-0 and you're just like, okay, well, I don't know anything then.
Yeah. I will say this again though. Like, I kind of think we all feel, though we're not Man United fans, A, for Nick's sanity, and B, for United to be good again, like, I kind of feel like he has to stick with the coach. I think the same way with Ange. Like, if you actually look at the last 8 games, Tottenham's not good, like, at all. And I just don't think it has anything to do with him. I think it's a lot of injuries, and I think he's still getting that system set up. When it burns bright, it burns real bright, and when it is kind of screwing up, for right now, it's a mess. They're giving up a ton of goals, but I don't know. I think if anything, Dylan, I know that you've said this multiple times, you got to look at the Arsenal model. Stick with your guy for a little bit longer than you normally do. I think Chelsea's kind of in that same boat too. All right, Michael, you brought it up. Before we jump into United, Villa, and Arsenal, West Ham, Michael, you were referring to the handball Man City Everton. I think it was, we said either Onana or Decore. I'm not remembering who. Close range shot in the box. And I think the shot was from Ake, of all people.
Yeah,
they slide in to try to block it. Hands go in the air, hits their hand. Gets called a pen pretty much immediately. And I'm sure that you're a little upset about in the Arsenal-Liverpool game where I know he didn't mean to and he was falling over, but it looked like Odegaard was dribbling the soccer ball with his hand.
I think Michael hates Tim Howard even more after the commentary is going to be my guess.
I didn't even hear the commentary.
I'm pretty sure the Premier League got to him because when they were explaining, it's like, well, you can tell he's falling down, which is a natural position for his hand to be in that spot. And like, they did the highlights 7 different times that day and it kept being the same thing. I was like, Michael probably broke his TV.
We need to investigate this. Is Tim Howard on a contract year? Is he just sucking up to the Prem to get that extension going? I think that might be it.
Well, this is my thing. Like, in the text message, I was like, because I was listening to the game, and then once it happened, I immediately get on the phone and, like, find it. Like, look at it and watch the clip of it. And when you're like, that's like, definitely a pen. Nothing is definitely a pen. Because, like, definitely means, like, well, but it definitely is like, that's for sure. Like, I know exactly what a pen is going to be. You have no fucking idea what it's going to be. So, like, there's never a point in time where you, Dylan, you more than anybody, you guys have a very loose relationship with fouls and cards and pens.
Yeah.
No, so, if by loose you mean like we don't get a call our way ever, specifically at least this year, yes.
Personally, this is, I've said from the beginning, I want it to just be, if it hits your hand, handball. Doesn't matter. I don't give this natural, like going away from the body too close, like natural position shit. It's all subjective. It all is bullshit. Like, let's just figure this out and have it be consistent because these conversations are annoying overall. In my gut, I don't think either one of those are penalties. Because I think that if you're diving to stop the ball or whatever, you don't dive like this. Mm-hmm. You know, like it's a ridiculous thing to ask somebody.
Yeah, I mean, have you ever gone down a slide before? Like your hands go up. Like that's how this works.
And that's how you like balance yourself when you're like sticking your leg out, your arm goes back. Okay. The same thing with Odegaard. Like I'm not sitting there like he went like this or like put his hand out. He was falling over. I get it. It's just so inconsistent all the time. And it's not even just like I knew the refs weren't talking to each other and having like I called this one a pen in this game, so like we need to all be on the same page, or like there's no internal discussion for the PGMOL. But it's the same guy, so he like game to game he doesn't even know what a penalty is, and like it's just, you know, it's just dumb as shit. And I'm gonna be a little, put a little sauce on the end of this. You guys are always the beneficiaries of this shit all
not
the time
true. Not true.
Absolutely, 100% true.
Absolutely, just released this graph, and I looked at it, and then you and I are actually at the bottom.
You, dude, the Rodri handball against Everton 2 years ago. Listen,
can you send this graph?
Yeah, I got it. It's on Instagram. that's send a reliable it. Source.
Send
I got,
it.
I got a reliable source.
It definitely seems like you guys are always getting the benefit of this.
Well, Michael, if I want to just also confirm something online, you've lived up to the billing of Liverpool being the bitch, whine, and moan club of Europe. But I thought it was a pen. I know that you're going down.
Of course you didn't.
Your arms go up in the air. He made his body bigger. To the letter of the law, that was a pen.
How to the letter of the law? What the fuck are you talking about? Bigger. No one understands the law.
He made his body bigger. That's pretty easy to understand. Makes his body bigger. No, he doesn't.
No. Did Odegaard not?
I thought it was a pen for Odegaard. We're just on different sides of the fence.
The people who literally do this don't know. So how do you know?
Because I watch a lot.
Yeah, okay. Whatever.
We're just on different sides of the fence. I think both are pens. You think both aren't pens.
Yeah, I don't think they're pens. I don't think you want those to be pens if it's your team.
I was pretty pumped.
Honestly, anyway, no, I could score a goal,
If it's against you, you don't... Like, the essence
of
it is...
Well, I'm used to that being against me at this point, so, like, I wouldn't have been shocked if those were called handballs and the Wolves receiving it.
Essentially, the feeling that you get from those penalties is not the feeling that you get from, like, for instance, like, Kulusevski today literally just pulling the fuck out of Danny Welbeck's shirt. Like, that's a foul every single time. I don't, if you ever say, like, that's not a foul, you're an idiot. Okay? That's what the shit is supposed to be for.
I agree with you that that's a foul. However, I think it was 2 games ago, the same thing happened to Huang, and that was not called. So I will be going to your point on this, but I just want to let you know, like, he got pulled literally, and it wasn't called. He should have tried a bicycle kick and whiffed, then it would have been called.
The thing is, like, people are better at, like, hiding it or, like, not hiding it so much, but not looking so guilty. Like, Kulusevski pulling that shirt, he was doing it, and he was like, I don't want anyone to see me doing this. Like, you could just tell he was like, you know, I'm gonna pull you back here. And then nobody thought that wasn't a foul. Like, it's just crazy. That's why it just needs to be, hit your hand, it's a foul. Don't give a fuck.
Yeah. All right. If you listen to my wish list, PGMOL abolition, abolishment? I don't know what I'm trying to say. Abolish the PGMOL is all I'm trying to say.
There we go.
That was my number one wish, yeah. Had them flipped around. That is the ADD talking. All right, let's get into the key games. United, Villa. Villa went up 2-0. McGinn in the 21st, then Donker, a Wolves legend, in the 26th. We thought the route was on. Michael and I were giggling. We were laughing, kind of making fun of Nick, low-key, in the chat.
Same.
Garnacho in the 59th and in the 71st. and then Hoyland in the 82nd. United come back. They get a dub. The only thing I know from this game, in all honesty, is despite United's best efforts to keep a known like physical abuser on their bench, in Antony, he should never play again because he's not as good as these guys. He's not as good as Garnacho. What a dude. That's all I'm trying to say. Right, Michael?
Yeah.
I'll let you touch this one first. Pause.
You're just... I was running when this game was going on, so I wanted to be back for the end of the game. I walk in, United is down 2-0, and I go, I love this league. This league is so great. And then I had to watch it all just unfold. So I didn't get to see the first half, but you told me... You told me Villa were like pretty good, playing pretty well. They must have fallen off a cliff in the second because I never saw them even have the ball most of the time.
I don't think. Yes, I think Villa didn't play as well as in the first half, but United was like shit in the first half. Like that United team in the second half was leaps and bounds better than what was happening in the first half, and maybe what we've actually seen for probably the first half of the season. Like, that was the first actually, like, cohesive soccer or football that I've seen United play for 45 minutes. The problem is they can't do it for 90, and you're not always going to have a team that blows a 2-0 lead. But, like, that was the only time where I was like, holy shit, United actually looks competent. And that's what the difference was.
I totally agree. And, you know, Michael, if you think back to, like, the Liverpool-Arsenal game last year where, like, Xhaka loses his head. And that's the catalyst that switches the momentum in that game. I don't think there was anything like that here, to be honest.
Garnacho's first goal that got called off, I think that gave them the belief. Because like that was only called off sides because they passed it in front when they were past everyone and they should have never passed it. But I think that was the, hey, we can do this. And because he basically had a hat trick, essentially, without getting it. And like I think it was more for him. That was the confidence because he's young enough that he's like, I just scored, it didn't count, but, like, look at me. And then he just started attacking more.
So that's a fair point, then, because in my... The other assessment that I had in this was the Villa offside trap has been so good this year. They're, like, the best team in Europe with the offside trap. And when he got called offsides, I think, Michael, you and I, that was peak let's giggle at Nick time. Because we're
the same.
I was just like, oh, you guys can't even score this way? What the hell?
I'll let you go in a second, but that moment of that offsides was literally when the candle was opened, and I was like, well, you don't have to burn that today. Like, and then it was straight downhill.
Absolutely. But I do think, if I'll run with your thought process of that being the catalyst, like, it was kind of like Man United, the Raptors testing the fence and the fence being the offsides trapped, because that's how they created all those other goals. And, like, they did look cohesive. They did look like they had a plan for the first time this year, probably. And I do also think a negative for Villa at times in that second half, they create, but they just look tired. And they look like they didn't have the legs anymore. And, you know, no, like, shit to them. I know they tied in Europe just a couple days ago, but going from City, Arsenal, Brentford, Sheffield, they just tied as well. Sorry about that. I didn't think about that one. Sheffield and then United, like, that's not an easy route. And I think probably the legs started getting tired against Sheffield. Obviously, that one was at home. I think they, for lack of a better description, sorry, parents, I think they shot their load early here and then just had nothing left.
I think that's fair.
I think, too, this is what I don't want to get PTSD from my argument with Nick, you know, two episodes ago on here, but it is just United have talent. I don't think we've ever said that, like, they don't have a bunch of people that can play. Bruno Fernandes is obviously an unbelievable player. What Fernandes are you going to get? What Hoyland are you going to get? Rashford, Garnacho, whatever. That's the problem. They're not consistent. And the first half, absolutely. We talk about how Villa away are not the same as Villa home. This was Villa away, and you know, you home and away, you don't know what Man United you're going to get either. So really, how bad they were the first half probably gave Villa the license to go for it and be a little, play a little more free and get those goals. Because they still had, you know, a very good XG, still had a lot of chances that they created. But the ability to switch gears and play so much better in the second half and come back and win that game, it's great. That's awesome. And I think if you're a United fan, you have to be pumped up about that. But you want to see something that can be translated game to game to game after this. And what I said against Liverpool, there's no way that they can translate that performance to West Ham and then to Villa necessarily, because they don't know what they're doing a lot of the times. And those players haven't been playing with each other because they've had injuries as well. They haven't been able to create that cohesion. And I hope, if you're a United fan, I hope this is kind of that catalyst for you, but I would not be shocked if it's back to poor performances again. And then, you know, maybe you pull something out in the second half, or you have a good first half and then you blow it in the second.
Go ahead, Dylan.
I'm like 70% probably like, Michael, you're right, but I'll be Nick right now.
Fuck you.
In more of the fact of, I said it in the beginning with Hoyland, like, the monkey might have finally come off the back, though. They've been playing with a lot of, like, I don't know, tense, I guess, or, like, so much pressure put on them that if they, let's say, come out and beat, who they have coming up, is it
Boring? Nottingham Forest.
Nottingham Forest.
At Nottingham Forest.
So if they, like, to be honest, in a normal year, this shouldn't matter. If they can come back and go to the City Ground and win that game where they control it against a City team, a Nottingham Forest team, sorry, that has the new coach bump and has looked a little bit more formidable at that point, and they control that game, I would potentially start leaning towards United as going in the right way. Because I think, like I said, they've been tense, they have all this pressure, and maybe what happened in that second half is what finally propels them to start playing more free and having confidence. Because we've all played sports. Sometimes you need to see the ball go into the hole. Sometimes you need to complete a screen pass. Seeing the ball go in the back of the net might have been literally that moment that it just clicks.
For sure.
That's 30% of me. I think 70% goes exactly to what you're saying.
Well, but again, like, you, if you have like five great performances in a row, or like consistent, I'm not even saying great performances, five just consistent wins. Performances in a row, and then you have a bad game, you're like, had a bad game, it's fine. You know, it happens. Shit happens. The issue with them is, like, when they have a bad performance, I don't know if that's just what they do or if that's what their level is or anything else. Cause I know it's not their level, because they've looked unreal that second half, and, like, you know, Garnacho and Hoyland were both great. But I just as well as I could see them winning 2-1 at Nottingham Forest, I could see them losing this game 2-1. Easily.
I agree.
Easily, I could see it.
Can I flip the conversation to Villa real quick? Yeah, because, John, you brought up their high line that's been fantastic this year. Do you think United just kind of figured it out towards the end, that it gives a blueprint, though, to other teams to finally attack them? Or a lot of teams, let's say, don't have the talent to do what United did, unless you're, you know, a City, a Liverpool, or an Arsenal, or anything like that.
I think a really good high line is the easiest trick to overcome. Like, I think it's, they got us on it a lot. Like, we were not prepared for it at all, and we didn't make adjustments within the game. I think, honestly, how we
played
against...
Second time around's a problem?
What's up?
You think second time around, playing everyone twice, is going to be a problem then?
I do. Truthfully, I think it's like, we didn't make any adjustments in that game. I think you can honestly, like, chalk that loss up to maybe Pep. But I feel like when you're playing a high line, if you do it really, really well, you're going to get offsides. Like, you just are, because it's the nature of the beast. But it's really, really easy for teams to be like, hey, we've seen them do this 3 or 4 times. Let's make this run adjustment. Let's make that run adjustment. And I think that, I don't know for sure, because if I did know for sure, we wouldn't be on this podcast with such a small audience. But I do think they're going to lose 6 games in the second half.
Bold take.
I can see it.
Put it on the board.
Well, They got. I think that I don't think that's bold because they got to go to Arsenal. They got to go to Man City. Those are games that they won that are huge games that they're gonna have to flip the script on. And they're right now. It seems like home. I guess they did draw Sheffield United at home, which is like real bad. But at home, they seem to be very good, very consistent. On the road, I don't know either because not saying they're gonna lose out on the road or anything. But they don't look like the same team at all.
Yeah. Like, I'll say this. They do have a ton of talent, obviously, and they're a good team, and Unai's great. But, like you said, I think second time through the batting order here, that high line isn't going to be as effective because you're just going to have trailing runners that are going to get the ball instead of the first cut and the first run.
Last thing on this, if you want, I love the commentary during those games, though, like that Manchester United Villa game where they're talking about just time your run better. And I'm like, don't you think that they're trying to do that? Like, you know, so it's like throw a fucking strike. Like, yeah, no shit. I'm not trying to throw a ball here. I'm not trying to be offside. But I do think it's one of those things where it is like such a just time your run better, stay onside. But then once you get out there and you have to play against it, It's not as easy as you think, obviously, because they keep getting people offside. But I do think there are going to be some teams and some players that just have that ability to time that run better on different teams. And they're like, I mean, like I said, we did that a couple years ago, not exactly the same, but we did the high line. There were times where people just absolutely cut through us because we took that risk. So yeah, it's going to happen for sure.
I think you're going to see, like I said, a lot of dummy runs. And if we're talking about this game in particular, once you're in that back line and you've been catching offsides, once you give up that initial goal, you peak. You start like, oh, do I need to go back? Because you're afraid you're going to give up another one. And I think,
yeah,
honestly, that's a lot of what happened against this United team. Was like, once they started figuring it out, A, it was key. But also, Villa started getting a little bit gun-shy on, oh, step up now. And then whatever, they're gonna hold back. So I don't want to call them out of the race because I think that's unfair because they've worked their way to this point, but I don't see them sticking in it is my opinion. Michael, you with that?
I kind of agree because I couldn't help but like realize watching that game up 2-0, I couldn't believe how many times I saw like two United players against two Villa players. Like there was just no, and again, that's like a little bit of Ange is always going to play that way with Spurs. I'm sure like Unai is very similar and like, these are our tactics. This is what we're going to do. We're going to keep doing it the whole game. But at the same time, I've seen United try to break down a low block. I've seen them try to, you know, intricate passes through to get a shot. If I'm telling you right now, if they just packed it in up 2-0, there's no way they lose that game.
Yeah, I agree. I will cover my ass here, Dylan, before we move on to the Arsenal game too. Six losses if Unai makes no adjustments, for sure. They could still get six losses, but he's a good enough coach, though, where he'll see, like, all right, they figured out the offsides trap. Let's do something different. Like, yeah. And that's how coaching should be. A coach that is here, there, and everywhere, and you can't get a read on him, David Moyes. Shout out to him. Arsenal, 0. West Ham, 2. Suchek in the 13th. Oh, my gosh. Mavropanos, Michael. You're my check on this.
He's Greek. That sounds pretty good.
Yeah, all right. Mavropanos in the 55th. This was off of a James Ward-Prowse corner kick assist. That was a beautiful ball. Shout out to him. He's honorable mention due to the week in this one. But a 2-0 win, West Ham at the Emirates. Guys, I got a lot of thoughts here because I've already won a 3-year bet with Arsenal. So now I can feel like an Arsenal hater whenever I want to, and I have been doing it. But Dylan, I feel like you haven't gotten to speak on Arsenal too much this year, and this is your team you picked to win it. What are your initial thoughts with this result in this game?
Not great, Bob. I wasn't worried for where they're at right now. And like this, I think Nick said it actually during this game. Between Liverpool and Arsenal, now is when you need to keep winning games while City is fucking up and they're letting you hang around, which is going to ultimately lead to them winning. And I've defended Arsenal because it wasn't great today, but they've had a pretty good defense and defensive record so far. And the goals haven't been as punchy as they were last year, to where I thought just grind out your 1-0s or 2-1s or whatever it is and you'll be fine. Yet the goals are washing up, and I know Michael's going to say, I told you so, they only score with defense, yada, 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 all that type of stuff. We're at Boxing Day, so I have to eat crow here and say I'm a little nervous that it's Liverpool's race to lose at this point. And Arsenal kind of bowed out a little bit. Like, don't get me wrong, I still think they can win it, but, like, let's, for putting odds, let's say now it's probably at, like, a 15 to 20%, where, like, I was closer to 40, 45-ish, that they could actually win it with where things still going into today.
I don't disagree. I love the narrative. Put all the pressure on Liverpool. Right, Michael?
I don't play. I'm a fan, so.
Yeah. You know, good thing you have a podcast. Good thing.
Yeah.
Imagine having an opinion.
I have an opinion. I just don't have an opinion on that because I'm not a player. It doesn't affect me. Yeah, dude, listen, they clearly have a style of how they want to play. Very defensive. Obviously, like, Declan Rice has been huge for that. Odegaard obviously has not been incredible this season as compared to, like, previous. This is overall, I think, what the issue is. I think Martinelli, I think Gabriel Jesus, I think Bukayo Saka are all great, great, great players. I think Martinelli is, like, actually really good. He had a bad game against us, in my opinion. I know somebody with a fucking Martinelli avatar will comment and tell me I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. Whatever. I don't care. They're trying to figure it out right now. Up front, who is their best three? Trossard was in there today. And the issue is, like, all these guys are great and they do amazing things. There is not a player on that team like Mohamed Salah who is consistently going to get you a goal, get you an assist, at least one of those a game, right? Who can paper over the cracks of Darwin Nunez not scoring, Cody Gakpo not playing particularly well, Luis Diaz not playing particularly well. When you don't have somebody that you can, like, lean on for the numbers, not just the performances, but for the numbers, it's a lot harder to avoid the criticism. And, you know, particularly, like I said, Joe Gomez was great against Bukayo Saka. These are the last two games I've watched Arsenal. He has looked so frustrated on that right side. And he hit the post today. Obviously, it was a hard, tight angle. Hard as fuck, by the way. But he hit the post today, and, you know, it's not an easy finish. I'm not at all implying that, but, like, that's when he needed to go in for his confidence and stuff. And I'm no issue, you know, Bukayo Saka is going to be unreal. He's 22 years old. He's playing out of his mind. He's a great player. Watching him, he does so many things. But they need somebody consistent. They need a striker bad. Somebody, they need Osimhen. They need Tony, who I think they're going to get one of the two, who is just going to put in goals over and over again.
Saka and Rashford, a lot in common right now, to be totally honest with you.
Rashford, this is the thing. Rashford doesn't do anything off the ball.
True. Offensively, Saka, a lot in common.
I think Saka's better than him.
Same.
For sure.
Same.
But I think you're being real mean to Bukayo Saka right now, because Rashford, I don't think, has been looked very good the past, like, year.
Yeah, I feel you. I think the frustrations are at the same level. I do think Saka buys in, tracks back, does more defensively, does more off the ball, way better player. Not way better, but better player. I don't know. I'm talking in circles now. The one thing I'll say, and I said it earlier, one, let me call out the knucklehead that called me out for saying that the Liverpool front line wasn't as good as the Arsenal front line. You're an idiot. Michael, your point was Mo Salah is better than the front three. Totally agree with that. Liverpool front line's way better and produces way more. Second thing, I get to laugh because I've been going at this the entire season. this is going to be a duh comment, and I said this in our group chat. If you get up on Arsenal, they crumble. They crack and they crumble. They can't string passes together. They try too hard. They oversell. They overpass. They try to do too much. This team will not win the title. This team is not good enough to win the title. They're not clutch. They have no ability to pull out wins when they need to. None.
Zero. I just can't wait. Can't wait for the dun 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 dun.
And I'll do it to myself.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Well, because I don't listen. I think they could figure it out at any moment. Because they have the talent. They have all this ability and all over the pitch. Obviously, like Saliba, Gabriel, Raya, whatever. I just think. I think Jesus, he had a good game today, even though they lost. I think Martinelli just looks bad right now. I think they need, like I said, they need a striker desperately. Somebody who is just going to fucking goal after goal after goal after goal. And that will help them immensely. And if they don't get that, I agree with you. But I think if they do get that, which I think they will, I think they're going to be real tough.
I don't think there's a winner on the field for them. I think their best winners are two former Man City players, and that's it.
See, the thing is though, I know he's won. I don't consider Jesus a winner.
Oh, I mean that's really mean to Jesus.
I just don't. I don't think he.
Not only did he win,
he was like
got 100 points once.
He was like, yeah, but he like didn't play a lot too at the same time. He
played a ton. Play the time.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway, I think this team does not have it in them. I think this team is not the level. And then this is my next point to kind of transition us out of this and we can get into predictions. I don't think there's a dominant team this season. I think you guys have 2 to 3 more losses coming up. I think this Arsenal team has 2 to 3 more losses coming up. I think City, obviously, especially if they keep playing how they have been, a couple more losses coming up. I don't think there's a team that's just going to run away with it this year. I think we're going to have a race, and I would be shocked. And, Michael, I think you called this out early. You said no team would have 90. Is that right? 90 points?
Mm-hmm. I think that's, I said that last year, too.
I think that's pretty accurate, man. I think that this is going to be kind of a sloppy year.
I've been known to be pretty accurate, so.
Okay. Dope. Dylan, take us out. Any last thoughts? Arsenal, West Ham at all?
West Ham's on a heater. Don't want to play them next.
ride them till they lose. Ride them till they lose. All right, let's get into our predictions. I'm gonna call it out pretty quick here. Not this week, but the week before that was one of the worst prediction weeks in NAFTAPOD history. I went 1-8. Michael was 3-6, and that was the high water mark, I believe.
Yeah.
Dylan was 2-7, and Nick was 1-8 with me. This week was a little bit better. Nick 5-5, Dylan 4-6, Michael 4-6, myself 5-5. That leaves us with Michael at 109-79. Nick is 188. I am 99-89, and Dylan is 91-97. So we got to have a big week to bounce back here for the pod. Let's start out. Luton hosting Chelsea. They had just beat Newcastle. We think that might be a top 6 win for them. Dylan, who do you got in this one?
I wanted Michael to go first. I'll be honest. I really want to pull the trigger and take Luton. But
Michael's saying don't do it.
I'm going to take Chelsea. This sucks. I want to take Luton so bad, but I'm like 9 games under 500, so I need to at least take it. I'll take Chelsea. I'm not happy about it.
I got Chelsea as well. Michael, who you got?
I got Luton.
I want to change to Luton.
Michael's got games to play with. Michael, you got Luton. Straight up win.
Yep.
Do you actually believe that?
Yep.
Also, am I remembering it wrong? I thought they already played at Luton, but I guess that was at Stamford Bridge when it was, was it 1-1?
No, the Chelsea beat them.
2-0 or 1-0 or something. It was close, right? It was something that, like, shouldn't have been a thing.
Mm-hmm. I think Chelsea beat them pretty
handily.
Like it like the score necessarily wasn't crazy, but I think they beat them pretty handily.
For the record books, John, I want to feel alive. I'm taking Luton. I would like to I would like to add that to my thing.
Okay, it was 3-0.
Yeah.
That game was 3-0?
Yeah, but 68 and 75th minute goals. It was so it was like 1-0 for 2/3 of the game.
I want to feel alive.
All right. Dylan Michael got Luton. I got Chelsea. Villa. They're hosting Burnley. I got Villa in this one. I think it's pretty straightforward. Villa. Michael, who you got? Villa?
Yeah.
Villa. Dylan?
V's up.
Yeah, V's up. This is a shot in the absolute dark.
Palace. I have no idea.
Palace Brentford. Does anyone have any clue? Michael, you got to go first on this one.
Oh, man. Fuck. I guess I feel I'm going to do a draw.
Dylan?
I have no idea.
I was going to do a tie, but then when Brentford played us, they have 9 senior players missing, and I don't think they're coming back for this game, and Palace didn't look terrible, and they're at home, and I looked while I was trying to figure out our betting segment, and they're ridiculously favored in this game, so I'm going to trust Vegas and go with Palace.
All right. I have a draw as well. We could have had a handshake draw, all of us, over it, but Dylan with Palace, Michael and I with the draw. No, it's fine. City hosting Sheffield United. City.
City.
It would be a shame, though.
Yeah, real shame.
Give me those eyes.
It Dylan. Would be a shame.
The best friend derby, Wolves, they're hosting Everton. Dylan, you got to lead us off.
I'm watching the game with Hank at Mulligan's in Hoboken, if anyone's around. So I'll be taking a tie, so we're both happy.
Okay, good friend. Michael?
I got Wolves, but... Dude,
so do I.
I'm not super sure.
I'm not confident on that one either.
I feel like we said, you got to ride a team when they're on the heater, and if you can identify when the air goes out of the balloon... I do think giving up 3 goals in the second half is a pretty decent sign.
But we may have wasted all of our goals against Brentford. Very true. But on the counter to that, we were going to put Neto in to get some burn, and then we're up by so much. He's even more rested. So could be a good thing.
Interesting. We say that all the time as Guardians fans. Anytime we score more than 4 runs, we wish we could have spread these out over 3 games. All right. Forest hosting United. I got United. I don't know. Michael?
I got Forrest.
Oh, what a
dude. Dude.
I'm going to go. Away, Michael will play.
Yeah. I'm going with.
Forrest on a little heater right now themselves. That Bournemouth game, they played well even with a guy down.
Yeah. True.
Which is probably means it's going to be a tie. Nick was really sad, and I'm going to be with him on Saturday too, so I'll take United.
Yeah.
Nuno he was happy, but he was sad. I don't need to see him sad.
Nuno got them believing in the new Espirito Santo. I love it. All the religion jokes. Fulham, Arsenal. Michael?
Arsenal, bounce back.
Dylan?
Arsenal.
Yeah, same here. Tottenham, Bournemouth. This is a tough one.
Dude.
This is a tough one. It's at Tottenham, though. And I'm riding that. I got Spurs.
No, I don't think... No Romero.
Yeah.
They're gonna have Ben Davies...
Solanke's about to have a field day. Give me the cherries.
if I'm a real Solanke head, I'd roll with Dylan here. Do I do that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm switching it. Up the Craigs.
Listen, I'm 30 games over. I just have to do this for my own mental health. Like, I want Bournemouth to win.
Dylan mentioned earlier, too, he's like, I kind of need Wolves to finish above Bournemouth, so I feel like good for Gary, and he's even taken Bournemouth, so I like the confidence.
Have you seen my record?
Yeah, exactly. Maybe not do what Dylan does. All right, game of the week, easily. Liverpool hosting Newcastle. Newcastle on a little bit of an anti-bender, or a bender. Is a negative a bender here? I don't know. Who you got, Michael?
I got Liverpool. We got they're not good away from home. They're like I said, I think they're the most injury ravaged team in the Prem, to be honest. I think this is like a must win for us. Like there's no excuse.
They're rabid and ravaged.
Ravaged, sorry, yeah.
Dylan.
Am I allowed to challenge the game of the week?
Sure.
Because I have two that I think... Well, one, I know you guys are going to tell me to fuck off. But...
Wolves Everton?
Well, that'd be one. I think it's going to be a fun game regardless, to be honest. All right. I think the next game is more of a game of a week in terms of fun and implications. I'll be taking Liverpool, but just let that simmer.
All right, there's multiple candidates. I think I was thinking, like, let's do Champions League, but we got four games of the week this week. It's amazing.
Just highlight all of them.
This league. That's how I'm feeling.
Yeah, absolutely.
Dylan, you got Liverpool?
I'll take Liverpool.
I got Liverpool as well. Dylan's game of the week, West Ham-Brighton. West Ham, huge win. What'd you say? Yeah, Dylan's version. I love that. West Ham with a huge win over Arsenal. Brighton with a big win over Tottenham. I'm going to take West Ham because it's at home. They've been playing better on the road, though, which is interesting because last year they only had 12 total points on the road. Five wins already for them this year, but it's at home. I'll take them. They're looking good. We didn't call him out. He wasn't a dude of the week. But Bowen, dude.
He's been outrageous.
Yeah. Just such a hustle guy, too. Like, such a heart player. Love him. Dylan, who you got in your game of the week?
I just want you to know they play well at home as well, having lost them 3-0. So I will be taking West Ham.
Michael?
So this is my thought process, because usually when West Ham go on the road, they get to do that counter stuff more just because the team at home is going to try to play like Arsenal today. Brighton play the same way regardless. So I think it's going to be a little bit of a early on in the year. Remember, we saw West Ham just beat the shit out of Brighton, even though Brighton had a million shots. I think West Ham will kind of do the same thing. So I got them as well. This is a tough one, though, because Brighton could finish all their chances and they could win 6-0.
Perfect. Tune in. I believe we're going to have a pod out Monday. We have four games of the week. West Ham, Brighton, Liverpool, Newcastle, Wolves, Everton. What was the fourth one? Tottenham, Bournemouth.
Yeah.
So yeah. I think that's going to be a fun game. There's a lot of fun games
that could have goals, is what we're saying.
Yes.
Yeah. If you get a weekly over, I'd take it. Dylan, speaking of weekly overs, what bets you got for us this week?
They have to do with overs. we will be taking, I only have three right now. I'll be honest, I was looking for a line, and I'll start looking into this a little bit more. Normally there's offsides lines, so I want to start looking at that actually at Villa Games and see how well Vegas has figured out the trap or not. But for this week, I think there's goals galore in Bournemouth-Tottenham. There's no money in the over, so we'll be taking both teams to score, no draw. So someone's going to win the game, both teams are scoring, -115. We just touched on it, West Ham, straight up, +150. And then finally, at +105, give me the over 2.5 in Wolves-Everton. They've been scoring, we've been scoring, our defense is atrocious. Theirs is sometimes good, sometimes shit, so three goals happen. It's either 2-2 or 2-1, depending on how that game ends.
I like that when we get to this part of the year, there's a lot more trend analysis in some of the picks that we have, which is kind of nice because you can tell, like you just said, with the Wolves team, like, probably going to give up a goal. But now you're scoring two. It's a good time.
I don't know what to do with all these goals. I'm going to be honest with you guys. Like, I don't know what this feels like. I sit there. I get excited. They score 20 seconds later. I haven't even sat down yet. I know this isn't this segment, and I should have talked about it before, but I just want to say, the Wolves scoring two goals in about a minute and 30 seconds, it normally used to take us, I don't know, 150 minutes to get two goals. So the fact that this is happening, it's like, it's a whole new world. I mean, 2024 could be sick.
Yeah. I looked down and it was 2-0. I was like, oh, Dylan probably doesn't know what to do with himself right now. All right, sure, get us out of here with a joke.
All right, let's see. So, do you guys know why the chicken got a red card and got ejected from the game? Persistent foul play. Cheers.
the NAFTA podcast.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.